Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 18 reads this way. It says, "And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and said unto his father, 'My head, my head.' And he said to a lad, 'Carry him to his mother.' And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before your throne, asking your blessings on your word on the service tonight, and for the power of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you, Lord, in spirit and truth. Bless your word. Bless your people. And Lord, may you empower our lives to truly be the witnesses of your grace that you've given to us, that the world might see that there is a God in heaven that cares for us and cares for them. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is God's Continued Work of Faith. We're continuing from this morning, but I want you to take notice of something here. First of all, you remember the title of the message this morning? It fell on a day, right? That's verse 8. Notice that. And it fell on a day. Did you see that right there? Okay, drop down to verse 11. And what does it say there? And it fell on a day. And let's drop down here to verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day. So a day brings forth many things into our lives. And we ought to count each day as precious because we really don't know if we have a tomorrow. And so we might consider this day the only opportunity that we have to walk with our Savior and to allow Him to live through us. That's really God's plan and God's will. He wants to write His commandments because of the grace of God on our hearts. And then we become really, by the grace of God, a law unto ourselves in this regard. The Spirit of God guides us to keep His word. And that's where the power of the believer lies. And so we're going to notice this even in the Old Testament because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does God ever change? Praise the Lord, right? Praise God that He doesn't change. That means His mercy will last forever. That means His grace will last forever. That means His love for you and I never changes. Isn't that amazing? God's love never changes. Now, we might feel differently towards God because of a misunderstanding. Is it possible for a child of God to question what is going on? It is possible, but God does want to reveal to us, and he does want to guide us, and He does want us to experience His love and compassion for us in the midst of difficult times, because that's where faith is needed. And we want to interchange that word faith with the word trust. That's where our trust in Him, even though I don't understand, even though it doesn't make any sense, I can trust the Lord that He's working out how many things for my good? Oh, not half? All things for my good? And by the way, for His honor and glory at the very same time. So we're going to enter into this Shunammite woman's life back in history. We're going to step back in time just for a moment tonight, and we're going to experience, or at least see what she experienced in her life in a very difficult situation. So we want to look at when the child was grown, three thoughts tonight, the man of God and the work of God in His people. So back down here to verse 18. And notice when the child was grown, so some more time had elapsed. I want you to put this together. Look at verse 8 here. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." As oft as he, so that means he did it more than once, right? So that means some time had elapsed there, and she developed a relationship with the man of God and the servant of the man of God, Gehazi. And so there was this bond, this friendship, this spiritual relationship that had developed. And then she asks, because he was doing this, she perceived that he was a holy man of God and asks her husband if we can make him a little chamber so when he comes by, he can stay there. So more time passes, and then he's laying on his bed and it dawns on him, what should be done for her, right? What could be done for her? Look what great care she's taken for us.
what could be done? Would you be spoken to for the king or the captain of the host? And she says, I dwell among my own people. I don't need anything. And then you remember Gehazi stepped up and said, hey, she has no child, no heir. She has no heir. Not only that, her husband is old and it's probably beyond them now. So he says, okay, that's it. About this time, right, you're going to have a child next year. And what happened here? She said, oh, don't lie to me. Right? She says, don't lie to me. That needs to tell us something, and that is that it was something that was unbelievable. In fact, so much so that she thought, please don't tell me stories, all right? I mean, this can't be, possibly can't be. And what does he say there at the bottom of verse 17 there? And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life, right? So now, all this time has elapsed. The time for when she, before she built the chamber for him, there was a relationship developing there. This is important. And then not only that, but then also the time after the chamber was built that it dawned on him of all that good care. Now, not that he wasn't aware of it and not that he didn't recognize it. He appreciated it very much. And then he said, oh, listen, something ought to be done for her. Now, you have to stop and think about it. She was a great woman. She was a man of great wealth. She was a woman of great wealth. Let me get that right. That was a test. Did you catch that? No, it wasn't really. I messed up. All right. So she was a woman of great wealth. Probably being a prophet, we would say that he was not wealthy by any means, as the world would consider wealth. And then he said, well, what's to be done for her? And so he thought, well, let me see what I can do. I can talk to the king for her. I can talk to the captain of the host. And by the way, you'll find out later on that she was spoken to the king on her behalf. And we'll take a glance at that tonight. But I do want you to see this. This time had elapsed. There was a great relationship there. There were things that were happening in the Shunammite woman's life because she was opened up to the leadership. This was God's work. This was God's will. Listen, for the blessing. Listen, was she blessed in her life? Yes, she was. Wait a minute. How about Elisha? Did he receive a blessing also in watching God work? Yes, he did. And not only that, but did Gehazi also see the blessings of God? Yes, I believe he was a child of God. And I'll tell you why I speculate that. Let me just say that. I speculate he was a child of God. And again, verse 12, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite, in verse 12, and he had called her, and she stood by him. So he says, what's to be done? And she said, I dwell among mine own people, verse 13, and verse 14, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. So here's the blessing, and now she receives the blessing. Now, I don't know how old the young lad is, because we're not told. But he was able to communicate that his head hurt, right? I don't know if he's 3, 4, 5, however old he is. Probably, I'm going to guess now, probably at least 5 years old. He's out there with his dad, with the reapers. And notice what happens here. And when the child was grown, it fell, so probably beyond being weaned, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, this other lad, carry him to his mother. This indicates to me that he was probably still a small child, right? Okay. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Now that's important because I want you to see that this is all a work of the Lord, and the Lord is all in the middle of this and can give you and I a peace even when our world, yes, our world is flipped upside down. This, listen, this has to be the difference that God makes in our life, or we have nothing to show the lost world. It has to be that God can give us hope when appearingly so, there is no hope. Our hope is yet to come. We have hope on this side of eternity, but hope will be realized and finalized when we see Jesus face to face. So with that thought, we're now going to move over to the man of God. We see here what happened when the child was grown. Some more time had elapsed. By the way, listen, Elisha frequented, we looked at the end of chapter 2 just previously, that he frequented Mount Carmel and Samaria, and this is where Shunem was at. And so he always was passing through there. He was always going back and forth. And so no doubt while the child was growing, do you think he maybe stopped then? Do you think he still, and probably had how would you say, acquaintance with the young boy? Do you think the Shunammite woman said, here he is. Here he is. Look at him. Look what God has done for me. Look what God has given to me. All right. So now we come to this place in her life. And verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. That's interesting. She didn't put him in his. You think they had a bed for him in their home? Yeah. But see, she's now, wait a minute. God gave me a promise. And he's not one who gives me a short promise. And so something is not right here, and I need to seek God in on this. By the way, listen, if peace is absent in your life, where shall we go? If not to the Lord. If joy is not there, didn't God say rejoice always? And again, I say rejoice. That doesn't mean that we don't have seasons of difficulties and trials and even sadness, but we can still realize that our joy is in the Lord and our hope is in the Lord. And so even in this difficult time, she's experiencing the grace of God. Notice what happens here. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Now that's interesting, really, when you stop and think about that, because the heart of a mother, I think, would be to stay there. But see, listen, remember, she was able to be led by the Spirit of God to perceive Elisha and Gehazi and invited them in, constrained them to come in. That's how we get things with the Lord. We need to do business. We need to mean business with God, because the Lord knows our hearts, does he not? He knows a genuine pursuit, not a perfect pursuit, but he knows when we really want to see God do something in our lives, and when we really want to honor the Lord with our lives, and when we really want to be used for the honor, and when we really want the will of God to be done in our own personal lives. I think this Shunammite woman really wanted to honor the Lord and be a blessing to the man of God. And I believe the man of God also wanted to, in return, be a blessing to this wonderful Shunammite woman. And so God moved him. Hey, it just dawned on, and she has this child. And so she puts him on the prophet's bed, and she shuts the door, and she goes out. And notice this, verse 22. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Now, isn't there something a little bit peculiar and a little bit strange? Now, she just lost the life of her son, did she not? And she says nothing to her husband about it. She says nothing. You ever stop to, why is that? I think deep down in her heart, she knew God wasn't finished yet. Deep down in her heart, she was able, in the midst of a difficult situation, is it not? To follow the Lord and take that next step with the light that God had given to her. And so you think the Lord is leading? We know that he is. He is leading her down this path. And so and by the way, listen, she's still a human being. She's not supernatural here other than the Spirit of God working in her life. And so, verse 22 again, she called her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Now, look at what she's saying, that I may go to the man of God and I'm going to come back. All right, verse 23. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, listen, it shall be well. It shall be well. She does not know the outcome yet. She does not know the outcome. But God is moving in her heart, and she is walking, trusting in faith what the Lord is leading in her life. Do you know that God wants to do that in your life and mine? Do you think God wants you and I to be blown around by every wind of doctrine? Do you think God wants you and I to be dismayed at what the world is doing? Or do you think God wants us to place our confidence not in the news, not in the stock market, but in the unchanging, infallible promises, the Word of God? And that's where God wants his people. Now, in case you wondered, we can't do that without God. Jesus said, without me, you can do. Do you believe that? Now, he didn't mean that we couldn't physically do anything. We can do all different kinds of things without God. We can do all different kinds of things for God. But you know what they're going to be? What? They're going to be nothing. That's exactly right. They will be nothing. Aren't you glad? Look, Jesus, look what I did for you. Well, when you get tired of doing things for me, invite me and I'll step in and do something for you. And so here's where she's at. And so what happens here? Verse 23, and said, where wilt thou go to him today? Why are you going to go today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Now, how is that? Listen, when David went out against Goliath, was Saul on board? King Saul, was he on board? He said, you can't go, you're just a youth. And he's a man of war from his youth. You can't do that. And he told him the story of the lion and the bear and said, just as the Lord delivered them in my hands, he's going to deliver this Philistine giant. Do you know God's in the business of taking the giants down in our life? Wait a minute, listen, for his honor and glory, by his power and grace, and for our blessing. That's the concept, and that's the joy that comes, really, to the believer when that truth is realized and understood. And so what's going on here? So she says it's going to be well. Verse 24, then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive. She saddled it. Did she saddle it? That's what it says. What frame of mind is she in right now? This was devastating. Was this child important to her? Yeah. But you know what? Listen, her faith in her God was taking precedent right here. Was preceding everything right now. Her trust and her relationship with God, what was important. And because it was that way, God is no doubt leading and guiding in this. Now watch what happens here. So she's doing this work. And she says to him, go drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee, unless I tell you. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. He saw her. He knew her. They had a relationship in the Lord. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Where did that come from? That is not natural. That is supernatural. That is the work of God in this Shunammite woman. Because what we see in the natural realm, it's not good. It is not well with me. It is not well. My husband doesn't know. And it's definitely not well with the child. How could she say it is well? Because her God was still on the throne. Her God and your God and my God has always been and will always be in control of everything. You mean if things go awry in our politics, it's still well? Well, whose hands are we in? We're not in the politicians' hands, because they are fallible and they make mistakes. Praise God, you're not in anybody's hands but the Lord's. And so God gave her a confidence that only he can give. Now, I want you to know she was concerned about the whole situation, as you and I would be. But God gave her something that we cannot manufacture ourselves. God has to do that for her. She was still walking forward in the power of God. Because if she was on her power, she would have never been able to get up off the floor. May I say that again? If she was relying on her power, she'd still be on the floor with a dead boy. And you know what the sad state of affairs is? That God's people don't understand the power of God the way God wants us to, so that we can get up off the floor and empowered by the grace of God, have the light of God in our lives, the joy of the Lord, and where we see God working instead of what man is doing. Joseph saw what God was doing even though his brothers betrayed him. Joseph saw what God was doing even when he was sold into slavery. Joseph saw what God was doing even when Potiphar's, was it Potiphar's wife? Yeah. Lied on him and had him thrown in jail. Joseph saw what God was doing. Who do we see in our lives? Does God still, we say that, God's still working on me. Is that an easy out? I don't know. God's still working on me. I know I'm not perfect, but God gives me his grace to see him and what he wants to do in my life and the patience that he wants to give me and the kindness that he wants to give me. And here's the truth of the matter is, I don't know which fruit of the Spirit I'm going to need every day. I don't know. I don't know. If I'm not careful, I'm looking, Lord, make me kind today, make me kind today. And it's patience that I need. Lord, give me kindness and it's long suffering. Lord, and so what God would have me to do is just, why don't you just ask for it all in Jesus? Because if you have Jesus, what do you have? You have everything. You have it all. And so she is walking, no doubt, smack dab in the middle of the will of God, doing something. Is this a testimony to the grace of God in her life? Let's just be upfront. She is not having an easy time. She is not really having a good time, but is the grace of God on her life? Is the grace of God on her life? Absolutely. This is the witness, this is the testimony of the grace of God in the life of a child of God. And I'm not just saying that flippantly and easy, because I want you to know, you may not realize it, but as I mentioned this morning, we all have problems. We all have problems. We have all been brought to tears in our lives, I'm sure. I'm sure. And the reason why you're here tonight is because of the grace of God. That's the reason why you're here, God's grace in your life and your love for him and your love for him. But we love him because he first loved us. Isn't that good? And you are in his hands and he's not done with us. And he wants to do this work. He wants to do it. So let's take notice of what happens here. So she says it's well in verse 26, verse 27. And when she came to the man of God, listen to this. Now listen, do you remember Gehazi? When he said, what's to be done for her? Gehazi in verse 14 answers, verily she hath no child. Listen, Gehazi at that point was used by the Lord to give the recommendation to Elisha about the child. And God moved on that recommendation from Gehazi. But I want you to understand, I think this is the turning point in Gehazi's life, where he starts mixing human reasoning and not waiting upon the Lord and not looking for the Lord to understand what Elisha definitely is seeing. So let's take notice of what's happening here. So she comes to the man of God, to the hill, verse 27. She caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. Now listen, this is important. Did these people, did Elisha and Gehazi know the character of this Shunammite woman? Did they spend some time with her? Not a little, did they? Before the chamber was built, after the chamber was built, and no doubt he was still traveling back and forth even after the child was born. I'm convinced of that. There's no doubt in my mind. Chapter 2 tells us that that was his route. He traveled back and forth to Samaria and Mount Carmel. That's where he was at. And Shunem was in the middle there. So he was trekking this. All right. So Gehazi, he goes to thrust her away. Now watch the man of God. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. How did he know that? God was working in his life. Gehazi missed it. But the man of God saw this. So notice what happens here. For her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. That's true. Is it not? Was that not true? Do you mean to tell me that God withheld something that the Shunammite woman knew that the man of God didn't know? Yes. Yes. You know why? Because we must all humbly walk before the Lord. Not thinking, oh, I've done this before. Oh, my goodness, we better pray. Oh, my goodness, we better pray. You have somebody that may be good at accounting with numbers, and you have somebody who's not a good speaker. Two different people surrender to the ministry of God to do something for the Lord. And you ask the guy that's the accountant to run the books for the church, and you will find he probably won't need to pray a whole lot because he's got this in the bag. But now you ask the accountant to preach for the Lord, he's probably going to spend a little more time in prayer, don't you think? Oh, God. And by the way, not only that, but he's afraid to stand in front of people. You think he's going to be in prayer? Oh, God, I'll never be able to do it. I will never be able to get up in front of those people unless you do it. And likewise, the same one that's maybe not afraid to preach, but can't do the numbers. If you ask him to run the numbers, you think he might spend a little bit more time. God, Lord, I'll make a mess of this. And so what I'm trying to say, and I think what the Lord is trying to help us understand, is not to get in front of God, to realize that every day we need his guidance. And just because we've done it before, if we're not careful, we become accustomed to doing things. Well, if this just happens, you do that. Not when it comes to the things of God. Because Gehazi just saw this woman grabbing his feet, and he thought everything wrong and was getting ready to throw her away from the man. And Elisha says, don't do that. The Lord has hid something from me. And her soul is vexed. And so, verse 28, and she said, listen where her heart is at. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? No, that was his idea. Did I ask you for that? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Did she not say that? She did say that, didn't she? Is her heart broken? How in the world did she hold it together this long? How did she do that? In her strength? No. Is her heart broken? Ripped apart. Ripped apart. And yet, who is sustaining her? The Lord. And God is moving and guiding in all of this. And I'm just going to be the first one to tell you, I don't understand it all. But I do know the answer, God. I don't understand it. And so here she is in this trial of a lifetime, predicament. Verse 29. Then he said to Gehazi, watch this now. And this is what we're seeing now here is the work of God in his people. The work of God in his people. Notice this. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. Now I want to stop here and I want to ask you a question. Was Elisha confident that this would resolve the problem? Otherwise, why is he doing it? Why is he doing it? But I want you to understand the importance of humbly, humbly walking with our God, or we'll get it wrong. So, let's see what happens right here. So he says, lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. She's telling the man of God, I'm not leaving your side. He says, well, the only way I'm going to get you to go home is for me to go with you. So come on, let's go. Let's go. Now, Elisha doesn't know the whole outcome. But Elisha was convinced that God was going to bless, and he is going to bless, but it's not the way Elisha thought. Elisha thought that God would use Gehazi. That's what Elisha thought. She said, I'm not going unless you come with me. All right. So they get up together and verse 31, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. So he's still with the mom, very close to the house now, if not already there. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was what? That's important to know, because God wants us to understand clearly there is no life in the child. So he's dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put forth his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. See, listen, it required the life and the relationship that Elisha had with God that Gehazi did not. Gehazi did not have this. And so therefore was rendered powerless, and so will you and I if we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ actively guiding us every day. We need to ask ourselves in what we're doing and in what we're saying, is that my will or God's? When we give advice and when we think of things, is that me? Or is that, you know, listen, people, listen, your parents don't need that. Your parents, your mom didn't need that TIA, and your dad doesn't need that cancer. Do you know it might be the very thing that gets their attention to see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ? They haven't gotten it since. And we have been praying for all these years and saying, God, bring whatever it takes. I would rather know my parents have trusted the Lord as their Savior and leave this life than to live another 20 years or 10 years without Him and reject Him. Because eternity is real. And so he stretched himself upon the child, listen to this, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. That's verse 34. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro. And notice he went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven. Listen, when the flesh of the child got warm, do you think Elisha got a little excited? Do you think Elisha said, now things are moving in the right direction? Listen, why did God do that? Do you think he was trying to help Elisha in his faith and his trust in the Lord and what he was doing? Absolutely. Do you think God wants to show you and I signs of life? Wait, signs of the Lord's life in your life and mine? Do you think God wants us to see him in our lives? Absolutely. Because if God does a thing, he does it right. If we do it, we'll mess it up, spiritually speaking. And so he returns to the house. He's walking to and fro. He stretches himself upon the child again, and the child sneezes seven times. And the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, do you think he enjoyed saying this? Take up your son. Take up your son. How in the world did she know to come to the man of God in the first place if it wasn't the Lord? How did she know to do what she did? How will you and I know what to do for the Lord if he's not leading us? We won't know. We'll come to the same conclusion Gehazi did. Then she went in, verse 37, and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Was she a little bit happy? Does God want to give us his joy? That's God's joy. That's what joy is all about. That's life. And because of the love of God in us, we've got a life to look forward to that you and I, we have no idea. We misunderstand God, do we not? We really don't know what heaven is like other than what we hear from the Bible. And let me just tell you this. Do you think we understand half of what it's really going to be like? Do you think we understand half of what the eternal body that God's going to give us is going to be like? Do you think we know what it's going to feel like to be in that body forever in the presence of the Lord? Do you think we really know what it's going to be like to see those that we love that have gone on before us and see them? Brother Roger says, boy, if we knew what they knew, they don't want to come back, do they? And if we knew what they knew, we wouldn't want them to come back. I like that. That's true. Brother Bill says, for all eternity, the Lord is going, because he's infinite, he's just going to pull back and awe us of things we don't know about him. And we're going to be, the world doesn't know what it's going to be like to be in the very presence of God. Now, what does Gehazi do? Chapter 5, very quickly, and we're going to finish up here. I want you to see what happens here. Look at verse 25. But he went in and stood before his master. This is Gehazi before Elisha. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhither. Is he lying? He is lying. He went out to Naaman and got the spoils, chapter 5. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Wow. Now fathom this thought. Fathom just for a moment. He did not know, God did not tell him what was wrong with the Shunammite woman. But God told him now what's going on with Gehazi. Do you know what that tells us? We have to humbly walk with the Lord because we don't know what the next moment is. And verse 26, he said, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. Did you see what he just brought into his life? You sold God out. So he said, the leprosy of Naaman is not just going to be passed on you forever on this side, but to your family too. Well, that's a fine how do you do, isn't it? How did he do that? He sold God out. When we sell God out, we ruin ourselves and our children. Now, let me show you something else you may not be aware of. Go over to chapter 8. Hard times come into the life of Israel. And something interesting takes place here. And look at chapter 8, verse 3. Gehazi's not done. I mean, he doesn't die, but he's got leprosy. I wouldn't want that. Verse 3, 2 Kings 8, 3. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. She had to go. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with who? Gehazi. The servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman. And this is her son, whom Elisha had restored to life. What a testimony. From whose mouth? A backslidden child of God who sold God out for the trinkets of this world that are passing away. He was still glorifying the name of God. But man, oh man, what did he bring into his life? Because he veered. Listen, we're going to look for happiness and fulfillment and joy somewhere. And if it's not in God, I promise you it'll be in this world. Because that's all we have. Those are the two choices for the child of God. You can find happiness in the Lord that is true happiness, or you can look for happiness in the world that is simply the carrot at the end of a stick that you're never going to get to, and the devil will see to it. You'll never find fulfillment in this world without God as a child of God. Never do it. So why not we say, oh God, help me to know your will. You want my advice to know the will of God? I'm going to tell you how you can find the will of God. Seek it every day and ask God for it. Lord, help me to know your will. Lord, show me your will for my life today. Today. We don't know about tomorrow. Don't bother tomorrow. Just today, this day. There's still time in this day. God still wants to show you something this day. God, listen to this. God wants to glorify himself in your life and mine this day. This day. Can something be said about this day? Yes. It fell on a day. What day? This day in your life and mine, that God gets our attention and we say, oh Lord, that we might walk with you the way this Shunammite woman walked. Lord, that we might walk with you. These are the examples in the Bible. They've been given to us for our examples. The way Elisha walked. Lord, that you might show us how to walk in this world the way Paul walked. Do you know when you read the writings of Paul, which is the writings of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Why? That you might have everything. You've been given the same grace that Paul has been given. Not an ounce less. Different calling, same Spirit, same grace, same love. I don't understand it, but God loves you as much as he loved Paul and all the other disciples. How do I know that? How do you know that? He gave us his son. Is there something else he could give us to show his love for us? He gave us his best. So tonight, God wants to continue his work of faith in us, if we'll have it. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word, for the understanding and the wisdom that it brings to our hearts and minds. And Lord, for the invitation that we see presented before us even tonight, to come and follow you. Lord, we know you through redemption, through the blood of the Lamb, as your children. But Lord, we also understand that there is a will you want to fulfill every day in our lives, that we might understand you and your grace in a powerful, life-changing way that we can experience and that the world might see a true witness of your grace. Bless the invitation, and may we realize that you will not infiltrate our lives, but you will be invited to come and show us the way. Bless, Lord, and we'll thank you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.